Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, this is Margaret Marshall, tuning in the backyard from Atlanta, Georgia. I want to welcome all our callers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As I mentioned before, I gave you
Sorry about that. We had a little technical difficulty. I had a double take there, ladies and gentlemen. Forgive me. However, I want to welcome you all again and to thank you for joining me in the backyard where we relax. I hope you all got in the mood as that classical calypso was playing and you're chilling wherever city you are today. It's bad weather here in Atlanta. So if I get a little cut off or disturbed, I don't know what's happening. We're having a lot of thunder and lightning. And my computer system has gone down a couple of times. So bear with me, but right now I think all is well and we're on the air. So as most of my listeners will know, I have been blessed and honored to have had a conversation with a Jamaican icon. Now, I can tell you that there's so much written up about this Jamaican gentleman that I'm telling you. I want to start off, if you've gotten the promo that I sent out, I think most of our listeners will know who he is and what he has done. But because the backyard is always elaborate, I want to share with you some comments that some other people who have written about him, some of his students, some of the people who have interviewed him have said about him. Now, first of all, for friends of Jamaica who might not know who the professor is, I'm going to give a little background. And then I have been so intrigued with how other people see him that I'm sure my listeners will enjoy hearing some of that. However, let me start off with his bio. Professor the Honorable Rex Nettleford is the retired Vice Chancellor of the University of the West Indies. Now, he is a well-known Caribbean scholar, trade union educator, social and cultural historian, and political analyst. He is a former Rhodes Scholar. And he, after returning to Jamaica, I think, at some time he was away studying at Oxford. He did politics at Oxford. By the way, he's also the founder of and artistic director and principal choreographer of the internationally acclaimed National Dance Theater Company of Jamaica, and he is regarded as a leading Caribbean authority in the performing arts. Now, I was just very intrigued that someone who has studied and written about politics and culture and so many things, this man is so well-rounded. But anyway, one of the things in his bio states that as an authority on development and cultural dynamics, he has lectured in many countries of the world, including the USA, Canada, the UK, India, Israel, and South Africa. Now, he headed the National Council on Education and has served on numerous other commissions in his native Jamaica. Now, it's always nice to know that our brain that was considered drained from Jamaica a lot of times return to give back. And Professor Nettleford is one of them that returned to his native land and gave back and is still giving. Because my conversation with him was just on a very short visit to promote one of his passions, which is education. He's very, very passionate about that. Now, he introduced into the UWI, which is the University of the West Indies, in 1968, the Cultural Studies Initiative, which has attracted postgraduate research on all three campuses. Now, with that said, I'd like to tell you that the professor has penned, perhaps I haven't really counted them, but several books on politics, on culture, and on dance. There's one book that he wrote called Dance Jamaica, another one called Self-Definition and Artistic Discovery, which he discusses a little in his conversation. And it leads me to this phrase, that it is so important that we develop all parts of us, and everybody has an artistic part of them. So I'm sure you're going to really enjoy this conversation with him this evening. But let me, before I put him on or download him into the system, this is a taped interview that I have. I want to read you what was written about him by one of the persons who interviewed him in 2005. This is what he said. The computer was a mere thought in 1933, the year Rex Nettleford was born in the parish of Trelawney on the edge of Jamaica's cockpit country. In those days, babies Googled when they were fed and felt content, as no doubt did baby Nettleford, whose mother lavished him with loving care. Fast forward to the end of the first decade of the 21st century. In the information age, Google is one of the technological wonders of the world. An internet search engine that is at the stroke of the keypad unearths in nanoseconds information on just about anything or anyone of note under the sun. If you have ever done anything and it's been published since the internet, you know, is alive, you are there. Now listen to what he says. However, of the over 6 billion human beings on planet Earth, only those who do not know him would be surprised to discover that if you Google the name Nettleford, the first and dominant listing on the internet is as follows: Rex Nettleford, Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. That's the first thing that comes up. And that is as it should be, since the life and works of Ralston Milton Nettleford, Rex, are not just noteworthy, but they are indeed let me spell it for you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so charged up. I'm having problems pronouncing it. Encyclopedic. Encyclopedic. Someone ring their, hold up your hands and pronounce it for the rest of the listeners. Hands please. Is my loyal listener from the Bronx on? Encyclopedia. Put up your hands. Oh, here he is.
Hey there.
Evening. Welcome to the backyard. The senior needs some help. Encyclopedic. I think that was a made-up word.
Encyclopedic.
Okay. So he's not just noteworthy, but he is indeed encyclopedic. Did I say it right?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, very few indeed are endowed with Rex, his skill. We all marvel at the way he choreographs ideas as if they were a symphony of movement that, in his words, elevate the creative imagination and our sense and sensibilities. I thought that was such a marvelous quote. Forgive me with all my stumblings, but I wanted to read that to you because I thought that was just brilliant. And this is someone writing about him. Do you have any comments about that, Mr.? Would you introduce yourself, sir? My listener, the mic is open.
I'm just a listener from the Bronx tonight, the home of the Yankees.
Okay, great. But that really moved me when I read that about him. Now, in 201, Judith Palmer wrote, in my opinion, a brilliant scholar, a compassionate and strong-willed artistic director, as well as one of the world's few existing custodians of the cultural heritage of Africa's Caribbean diaspora. Nettleford describes Jamaica as a diaspora containing many diasporas, as everyone is part this or part that, but totally Caribbean. The white people are niggerfied, and the black people are Europeanized. I thought this is her terms on it. Isn't that cute? Because it's so much so, because we're all one in a melting pot, whatever color you are. Another writer wrote, Nettleford says his view of artistic has not changed since he started the company. This is after one of his dance recitals that he choreographed. This writer was writing about that. He continues to work with cross-fertilization and says his new artistic products become classics after being worked and reworked until there is a sense of inner harmony that cannot be bettered. And that brought the thought to me of our memory gem that we learned in school. Good, better, best. Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best. Because I see what all these writers are saying about this man is that he personifies that particular memory gem. Wouldn't you say that, Leigh?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I thought it was so, you know, pointed the way what I read you was three different writers. One, I think, was one of his past students. One, I think Judith Palmer is a writer for Jamaica.com. And the other gentleman who talked about the Googling, A lot of the seniors, I know some of the people listening to this program might not be good Googlers, but, you know, the whole language, English language, has changed with the modern times. Because you remember when a mouse used to be something that you'd be scared, the women used to be scared of, you know, and Google, as the writer said, was what the kids, the babies did when you made them happy. But all of that has changed now because Google is a search engine. And whoever or whatever information comes up in the number one position is a very important thing for Googlers, because that means that if it is a product or a person or an idea or whatever, if it comes up number one, and the number one thing is the Wikipedia information on it, then you know you're at the top of the heap. And to know that this professor was born long before the age of the internet, but he is now, in my mind, as a cultural icon, dominating it.
And from Trelawney.
Oh, yeah.
So many great people from Trelawney.
Not only
athletes.
Right. Oh, that's quite a pointed. So we should say that Trelawney has given the world a lot of talent. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Not just the Caribbean, or not just the Caribbean culture or the Caribbean people, but the entire world. Now, the conversation did not really go much on his past performances, because what we're really focusing on now and the message from the organization that he was here to support is what we in the diaspora can do to help to retain and preserve this gift and talent and passion that we have that can be shared with the whole world. And bringing that back to early childhood education, which is what the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta is all about, as similar to some of the other organizations that are trying to give back and realizing the importance of starting the children at an early age.
Is that the conference you went to on Sunday?
Yes, yes. It's with the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta, and he was here to support them in their efforts and to have, you know, information out to the entire diaspora, whether you're in England, Switzerland, or anywhere. You know, we're blazing a trail. The whole world knows about our sports people. You know, we're making a dent. I mean, we're number one. We want to continue to provide all of this information and in sports as well as in the arts, as well as in, you know, science, and we have the talent there. You know, they're all eating the yam. That's a joke. I don't hear you laughing, Lee.
Yeah,
you know, they think it's something else, but it's the yam. So,
yeah. Do you think there are people in your listening audience that
know what the yam is?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there have been talks about what was Bolt taking, you know, how does he do it, where does he get the strength from, you know, is it legal or illegal? So,
his answer was he eats yam.
Yes, it's the ground provision.
Yeah.
So with that song, you know, we can do anything on Labrish. And
yeah.
For our new listeners who might not know, our friends of Jamaica who might not know what a labrish is, but a labrish is a casual conversation among people. We don't have a political platform, or we're not very, a lot of times, politically correct. Because as I said, when I was when I was allowed, I was granted the opportunity to speak with this really well-known icon, that it will be a casual conversation because, first of all, I must confess to my listeners, I am not a professional radio host, nor a professional interviewer. I really don't know what I'm doing. I just know that I'm passionate about my culture. And I want to encourage everyone that has a story and that has a passion to join us in the backyard, because we need to let the young people know what we expect of them. We need to let them know that it has not been easy for a lot of the people that are making a difference in the world, regardless of where they come from. It has not been easy. You have had to, a lot of people have to overcome a lot of challenges to get to where they want to go once they have a goal. And you'll hear the professor discuss some of that too. And that we need to be always, always striving for the best in us, not what other people expect of us, but the best that we can bring to the world. So with that said, I see I have a caller on 718-653 that has a hand raised, and I'd like to open up the mic before I put the professor through. So just a minute. Let me open your mic here. As I said, the weather is bad, so forgive me if it takes a little longer. Good afternoon. Good evening. You're on.
Good evening.
718-653.
Good evening. It's Maxine Lyons. How are you doing?
Hi, Maxine. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. I want to admonish you on the work you're doing. I just know you said you're not professional, but I beg to differ because you are in what you do.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You are professional. Your voice, your just the way you do and say things, your pronunciation, you're just great.
Oh, well, thank you. That makes
your age can do what you are doing.
Okay. Thank you. It's good to be appreciated, and I appreciate you, Maxine, for letting me know that.
Yes, it is so.
So without any further ado, you're going to be listening to the professor in our conversation now, and then we're going to pick up after. So what I'm going to do is to close the mic so we won't have any, you know, background noise, and you can listen to him. And I want to discuss a couple of the points that he brought up in our conversation. So I'm asking you to hang with me, but you're going to enjoy it. So let me just bring him on here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As I mentioned before, I gave you all the accolades on our very honored guest who is with us today. And I see that he's online already, and I want to welcome him. So without any further ado, I will welcome Professor Nex Rettleford. Are you on, sir?
Yes, Miss Marshall.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
When the listeners listen, it will be afternoon, but I've already told them I am just so honored, sir, that you would take the time to join the Labrish, because that's what we do here on Backyard Labrish. I don't know if you're too familiar with the format, but we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and this is the Backyard Labrish segment of it. And Backyard Labrish is established to celebrate, inform, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. So I want to again welcome you. I've already told our listeners before you came on of your it's so impressive that I personally do not think that there's any other Jamaican that I have researched or I know of that has a as many honors, or American for that matter, as you have, sir, because I've counted them, and I don't know if you know, there are 19 honorary degrees. Were you, are you keeping numbers?
No,
Well, you might learn a couple of things about yourself today.
Indeed.
And as I told my listeners, I'm building this as a conversation. Because number one, you might not know this, but I'm a senior's senior. And my listeners know me as a senior because I celebrated my 74th birthday this past March.
Oh. Good.
Well, I think we're sort of in the same category.
Good. I was about to say, welcome aboard.
I call it the waiting room, not waiting to exhale, really, but,
yes.
You know, it's a room where I can just look around and observe and look back and forward, you know what I mean?
Some people call it the departure lounge.
Oh, no, I won't go that far. I'm in the waiting room.
Good.
So, welcome to the show again, and we really appreciate you taking the time to lavish with us, and on behalf of the association that you're here to represent today, I want to thank you because I read from all that I've read about you, from your students and some of your documents and all the books that you have penned, that your passion is real and diversified. But I think that mostly what I get from what I read about you and what people say about you is your passion not only for education but for the arts.
Yes.
And because the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta is focused on early childhood education, I wanted to sort of have this conversation go towards what you, I know that is important, it's very important, it's the most important part, I think, of the structure. Wouldn't you agree?
The part of the structure, repeat that for me, please.
In terms of starting the foundation in acquiring education, that the early childhood education,
or
getting the kids at elementary level, is most important.
I think the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta organization is onto a very good thing.
Amen.
Onto where it is supposed to start.
Exactly my feeling.
We have got to prepare the next generation and the children in that for coping with what is clearly in the 21st century, the third millennium, a very kaleidoscopic state of existence. It's not, you can't prepare the child for a one-way street at all. He has got to, he has got to be multifaceted, multi-layered, and in fact have the capacity to cope with a vision which, of course, will render them capable of bringing meaning to the kaleidoscopic range of perceptions and what have you that the 21st century will, in fact, challenge them with.
Definitely.
And this is a whole new thing for education. It wasn't the old thing, but, you know, things go around in circles. Not so much in circles. I don't want to put it that way, as if there's no end to it. I'm a great believer in an old Bantu proverb, which says that you and I are mere manifestations of those gone before us, those living now, and those yet unborn, which is a marvelous cyclical way of looking at life and progress, you know. And therefore, it is very critical. That's why we have to learn from our history, from our parents, from our ancestors, so that we don't make their own mistakes and that, in fact, we can emulate the great achievements that they have left us.
Well, I know that all our listeners, sir, including the children, because this show will be archived, and as a matter of fact, I've already mentioned to the board, the mission board of the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta,
that their students can come on and listen to you.
Good.
So with that said, I wanted to ask you, what can talking about the past, what is there any person or event you can remember that sort of directed you in your passion or helped you with determining which way, which direction you would take in your education?
The best of that old generation, which lived in my youth, and in very much one of them is my old grandmother, now dead, with whom I was brought up for during some very important years of my life, and in rural Jamaica. She used to say, educate yourself, get an education, because once you get it, nobody can take it away from you. Stay in school. She never kept me away from school in order to go and work the ground, the fields, though I never escaped that, and nor would I have wanted to escape it. I had to get up very early in the mornings, from 4 in the mornings, 5 o'clock, to go and plant corn or peas in a neighbor's field. But she never, then I go to school.
Right.
And she said, get an education. And it's interesting, she said, because once you have it, nobody can take it away from you. It is yours to do with what your life challenges you to do with it. And the other thing, although she didn't travel at all, not more than 9 miles outside of her village, she said, and what is more, you can travel with it. Which,
right.
As I grew older, I said, my God, what wisdom. Then, of course, the schools, my teachers, were great, great role models for me, both men and women. And they made school very, very attractive for me, and learning in particular. Now, as you know, in Jamaica, take the thing of English. I'm speaking to you in what may sound like standard English, but that wasn't my first language. It still isn't. My first language is Jamaica talk. But nobody in my yard, where we did speak Jamaica talk, ever said to me, speak properly. No. I learned English as another language, learned the grammar, learned to speak it properly, learned to write it properly. I wrote essays which got high marks, but I spoke my own language, my dialect, so I was never ashamed of myself. And, you know, one of the things that you let a child, you have to get the child to appreciate what's in is her or his or her environment. So her language, her religion is very important. Who she is, a kinship pattern. I grew up in an extended family. My parents didn't have the benefit of confetti, but that didn't make me into a bastard and didn't make me feel less than whole and less than anybody else. Not at all. You know, I was a human being with my mind exposed to the best that my village had to offer, which was education. And that education was not simply learning the 3 R's, though those are very, very important, but also to exercise the creative imagination. You know, of course, in Jamaica and the rest of the Caribbean, we have more artists per square inch than is probably good for us.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Because the exercise of the creative imagination led us into areas which were beyond the reach of prejudice and oppression and so on. So to create, we learned from early to create a song. And to make the songs that we, our folk people sang, to have them make sense to us, to create a poem and what have we. And the child, if the child in the time of her being educated is encouraged to do this kind of thing, to start something from scratch and to end up with something which makes sense, that gives him or her a sense of place, a sense of purpose, a sense of identity, and it takes him or her through life. It affords her, him or her, the opportunity to be generous to others, assuming, of course, that the, your adults who are with you, whether they are in school or the family, with the generosity of spirit. And all of that is what one learns. And I think all of this has to be plowed into the curriculum of the young school, the young school student. Very, very important. This thing, you don't, I'm a great believer in educating people than in simply training them. Because you can be trained without having one bit of caring or compassion.
Right, we call it book learning.
Well, not even book learning, indeed. And the important thing is that you have to understand to relate to people. Which brings me around to another point. That good old simple thing of nature study was so good it prepared me for science, what I subsequently learned about in science when I went to secondary school. And I've always said that you should not necessarily start with a computer if you want to introduce children to science. Let them go out and look at their environment around them, because what the Almighty has done for us, you know, that children now don't know a thing about photosynthesis, why leaves are green, how the sun or interact with the vegetation and whatever. But being a country boy and brought up in rural Jamaica, all of this I learned from I was 6-7 years old, you know, and I was fascinated with how things grow, and that helped to give me a sense of process. And one of the things I'm finding now that, you know, young people, because of the of this advance of science and technology, we, and science and technology are critical, but they want everything overnight. You touch a button and something happens. No, I saw trees grow. It's a marvelous thing to see tree grow. I see, as an old Asian haiku says, they bear fruit, the fruits fall to the ground, and other trees grow.
Right.
So that the moment of maturation is the moment of degeneration, but that is also the moment of regeneration.
Right.
And it's a wonderful feeling of life, of knowing what life is, reproduction and process. And I think what you have to get the youngster to understand from very early is that sense of process.
Oh, that is marvelous, because I hear not only a message to the children to appreciate their environment and to really be participating in whatever it is that their parents are participating in, especially if it, in terms of being in love with the soil and the earth and the things around us, but also to the parents to be encouraging the children and making them feel safe and secure, not only safe and secure, but important, because as you mentioned, that your conversation might not have been in English, but everything was a story, and your grandmother encouraged you just to be the best that you can be. It's interesting, as I listened to you, you know, a couple weeks ago on the Backyard Lavish, we did memory gems, and I don't know if you remembered any of those.
Oh,
I'm sure, because I've read some of your one-liners, sir, and they're just so on target. I said, my gosh, this is for, I just keep the flashing of the memory gems. And the one that comes to mind, I'm sure you know it, is good, better, best.
Yes.
Never let it rest until your good is better and your better best.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
And I read a comment that you made to a reporter who was interviewing you after one of the your dance recitals.
Yes.
And you talk to them. I don't have my papers here. You know, I'm old, so things are all over the place. I wrote it out, but what it was actually saying is when you knew it was ready is when you had done it over and over and over and over, and it just sort of came into itself.
Yes.
They were complimenting you on one of your productions.
Yes.
And I said, that brings that to mind, because I know for me, in my life, that was always in the back of my mind, you know, that I always wanted to make my good better till I got it to the best.
Yes, well, you know, it's interesting what you have said, since you're on Labrys.
Yes.
The thing is, it takes me to the whole thing of another thing which I'm encouraging young people, my students and otherwise, is that sustained application is critical in all that. If once you try and you think you fail, try and keep trying again. So sustained application is very good. The trouble is that we tend to be sprinters rather than long-distance runners. And I keep telling a lot of young people at the moment that, look, the tremendous achievement of Bolt, Usain Bolt the Magnificent, is 9:58 in the 100 meters is the result of hours, years, months, work in preparing for all of this, mental and physical. And you have to bear in mind that the experience of his coaches, who clearly have done very well in advising him and so on. And those are years of experience, I mean, corresponding to the years of experience of your parents and your older teachers. And that, in fact, the respect for elders is critical, because not because they simply have gray hairs, but they will have lived and they will have experienced and learned from their own mistakes and are able to pass on to the young what might very well be best for them. So don't let us indulge matricidal and patricidal instincts and want to kill off our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yes,
in doing
yes,
that,
yes.
we are really killing off ourselves.
Right.
All of this is very important for the young.
Amen. Well, I am sure that everyone listening, both the parents and the children, can learn so much from you. Another thing that I mentioned to someone I spoke to today is that, you know, I've read a lot or I've tried to catch up with some of what you have done, but hearing your voice, and you can actually feel the passion for what you do. And I noticed that was mentioned by everyone who wrote about a production or wrote about being in your presence or wrote about being taught by you. And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of times children, the younger generation, all over the world, not just in Jamaica, but they tend to not want to make time for their elders, you know, or to listen or to sift through. Sometimes we talk a lot. I know my children tell me that all the time. But somewhere along all that talk are nuggets of wisdom from life experience. So what I hear you saying is that it is important, and it's even more important when it's not just words on a paper, but it's voice. It's voice, like we're sharing now.
That's right. Oh, yes. And in fact, despite all that I have said, incidentally, I am an incurable optimist. I have great, great hope for the future, as long as we are willing to invest that future in our young people and invest in our young people to help shape that future.
And how important it is to us, even though we might not be here, as well as to them and their future generation.
Oh, yes, undoubtedly.
As you said about the tree, you know, and the fruit.
Yes.
And the rebirth of that tree. So they need to start thinking in those terms.
Yes, but the older generation have to help them. Some of us as parents...
Yes.
Some of us as parents have not been very good, and particularly if we have been poor and we have developed, we have progressed on the basis of hardships. We don't want our children to suffer what we did, therefore.
Mm.
And that is not always the right approach. Let them go through life themselves and experience some of the hardships as well as some of the successes.
I aimed men to that, sir. And actually, I know that the program this evening is more or less, a local thing, but this broadcast goes all over the world, and Blog Talk Radio is very popular. And I want to know what message you may have for people in the diaspora in terms of, you know, reaching out and helping, because me personally, I don't plan to go back to Jamaica. My children were born here, raised here. They, at the moment, don't even have any interest in my history. But I know as they get older, they will have more interest. And I have three grandsons that I'm really doing a lot of this for. And I'm trying to encourage older people, Jamaicans, or friends of Jamaica, to join me in the backyard, you know, and help us to leave some messages for the next generation. Because this will be here forever. What we're doing will be archived forever.
No, let me tell you, only barbarians are not interested in where they come from.
Mm.
And there is enough evidence and experience of the Americas, of which the Caribbean is an integral part, to show that the people who have come from elsewhere, because apart from the Native Americans, we have all come from elsewhere, and that we have to be interested in strengthening the soil from which we came. And we are expecting from the diaspora not only their remittances, but their goodwill and continuing interest in the institutions of growth and development, which we back in our mother country, Jamaica in our case, or wherever else in the Caribbean or anywhere else, that for that matter, we are interested in their development. I was saying only a while ago, how the fantastic growth and development of China, mainland China, has benefited tremendously from their diaspora.
Uh-huh.
And we in the Caribbean hope that we will benefit from your continuing goodwill here on both sides of the Atlantic, and whatever else you can do to help us help ourselves.
Yes, I know a lot of people feel, some people, not a lot, but some people feel because they don't plan to go back and retire, they sort of don't have an interest. But I, for one, know that I am retired. I am devoting my time to doing my research and helping in whatever way I can.
Well, we are grateful for this. And I tell you, it will all come out in the wash.
Oh, yes. So I'm using the platform to just encourage more people and to leave a verbal nugget of wisdom for the next generation. I know that my children will be using this platform in terms of the internet,
yes,
you know, for their information. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that perhaps a lot of people in the diaspora, their children and grandchildren, might be using the same medium. And we will be able to, they'll be able to, and they should be, you know, seeking information. Because me personally, I have found things out about Jamaicans in 1874, more now that I've been doing this than I ever knew. And I am just so fascinated. I'm like if I can say it in my language, mother young gal.
Yes, that's good.
You know, because it's just been very inspirational to me. And I know that you are a senior too.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you one more question before we go off the air. And is I noticed you've penned several books, and I plan to, I can put some of them that you might have on Amazon when the show is being aired. But I wanted to know if you had a favorite. I know you wrote about your artistic talents and there's one book called Dance Jamaica.
That's right. Well,
several other books. I want
you
to have a favorite.
You never should ask that question. I don't know what is my favorite book. I try to do it. But I tell you, coming up very soon is a sequel to Dance Jamaica called Renewal and Continuity. And you see, we have been talking a lot about this, that you, in fact, many of us who are elders have to learn to preside over our own liquidation and prepare the young to take our place. And I, in the arts, the performing arts, and in the university, in education, I am strategically placed to do just this. And that is coming. The other thing that I'm working on now, and hopefully will get out very soon, is the thing of what I call engaging the silence. Because people like us, and this is really, we are your own children and the offspring of the people in the diaspora, to remember that people like us, particularly people of African ancestry, have been relegated to a form of silence. Mm. We make a lot of noise, but even when we're making noise, it's amazing. It is silent. People have a way of not listening to us, or even in our achievements, we become great sportsmen, great performing artists, great dancers, great whatever. But they regard us as minstrels to entertain our betters, you know. And we have to keep fighting this. And we have done this in several ways. I'm grateful to my ancestors and to the generation before me for the sensible way in which they have, in fact, engaged the silence so that they can move forward.
Amen. Well, that is well said, as usual. I must confess to you, sir, that I was, I know about you, of course. I don't think there's anyone on the planet that doesn't. However, I didn't know a lot about your work. But then I remember that I wanted to ask you if you were part of Ivy Baxter Dancers.
Definitely.
When the Princess Margaret came to Jamaica.
When what?
When Princess Margaret came to Jamaica.
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, then perhaps. We must have met
because
I was in the army then, Queen Alexander Royal Army Nursing Corps,
right.
And I was also dancing with Ivy Baxter, and we did a piece for that, whatever they called it then at camp, a cultural dance,
mm-hmm.
for that event. So I'm saying at some time or path might have crossed.
Yes. Well, the dance, like other performing arts, are an excellent way of our, not simply entertaining our betters, but communicating our inner feelings.
Right, the expression. I can just remember the feeling, and even at my age, I'm still dancing.
Good, wonderful.
Because it releases, you know, everything.
Good.
Joy. There's so much passion.
Definitely.
when you express yourself in dance.
Definitely.
And, I mean, you will go down in history, as far as I can see, and all of your fans would agree with me, as someone who has just perfected the art of communication in all of the books that you have penned and those that you have edited and just everything that you've done for the culture. Not just Jamaican culture, but just culture, period, but especially African culture. And I want to ask you, because as I was speaking with George Graham before we came on the air, who is an author too, a Jamaican author, and he suggested that I ask you, you know, it seems like you beat so many odds. You mentioned about coming from humble beginnings in Jamaica, and yet you are known worldwide. And we just wondered if you had dreamed about this when you were a child.
No, not at all. I wouldn't have, not at all.
Really?
No. But it's just that I was brought up happily in a situation where you know, you must do the best that you can. And whatever you are doing, do it fully. And, in fact, life will take you along, you know. And this was really been. Then, of course, I was lucky to have been around at the time when Jamaica was really shaping itself out of self-government into independence. So, in a way, I grew up with modern Jamaica.
I got you. Yes, yes. And how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, Lord, please don't ask me that. you know, the people will remember me to choose what I should be remembered about.
Oh, yes. Well, that is a good answer. Well, right now I am just so fascinated and I'm so honored. And, you know, on behalf of Benevolence Missions, I would like to mention their website. They're at www.benevolentmissions.com. And the event is today. However, you know, our listeners can go online and donate, and there'll be a lot of information about what the mission is doing, as well as they will also have this segment of the show that listeners can go back to and listen. And I look forward to meeting you today. And I know that, you know, we're going to be listening to the show over and over and over again, because, as I mentioned, you know, just hearing someone that you respect and someone as honored as you are, and you are, sir, I'm sure you're aware of that. But, you know, I just want you to let you know that we really appreciate you taking the time to share with us today.
I thank you very much for having me.
And I look forward to seeing you later on, and I want to encourage our listeners to support the cause, because you took time out to come up here today to support the cause, because that's how important it is.
Bless you.
All righty. Well, thank you much, and you have a great day, and I don't have to talk about continued success, so because, you know, this will go on. They talk about Michael Jackson being going on for years and years. I see you and your work spanning many generations in the future.
Bless you, and thank you so much.
Thank you, sir, and good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, hello there, listeners. I'm back on the air, and if you'd like to chime in now and let's continue the labrish, just raise your hand.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let me stop this thing and I'd wait a minute. Okay. I'm not very technical. Please forgive me. So, do I have any comments on that? 718-653, you are open.
Blog Talk Radio.
What am I doing?
Before,
it's long hair. Okay, I think I'm cool now. Okay, so anybody want to chime in here? Your mics are open. 646 and 718. Hello?
Hello?
Did you all go to sleep on me?
Not at all. Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you.
Oh, yes, that was a very elegant conversation.
Oh, really?
And a lot of the things we have talked about in the past, he really highlighted in his own way what was said by some of it, in some of your programs already.
Mm-hmm.
But coming from him and the way he put it, you know.
Right.
We should be very grateful for that.
And what I got from it, you know, is that a lot of people in our age group are sort of thinking the same way.
Yes.
You know, along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, I want to thank our listeners. We have a full board. I want to thank you for joining us here in the backyard. We're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. I hope you're on my mailing list, and that's why you're here. And if you're not, please go to the website and send me a www.backyardlabrish.com and send me a note, and if you'd like to be on our mailing list if you're not on it. Also, if you would share this information with your friends, and have them just even listen to the shows that are archived. And how you can do that is to just forward them something that I might send you a promo on the show, because they can click on any show and listen to that particular show. They don't have to listen to all of them. And we would ask you that while you are there at Blog Talk Radio listening to the show, if you have a comment, you can make it right on the site there, or if you would like to mark a show your favorite, you can do so. Because right now, I don't know if you know, my loyal listener from the Bronx, Leigh, that Mrs. Manley's show that I did about her book happens to be the most downloaded show. Because people that just want to hear about the book or want to hear her voice or want to hear what she has to say, you know, whether they are political or not or one way or not, just go by and listen to it. So Blog Talk Radio, if you go to the site, you will see that show comes up first because it has had the most hit. So it's
up to this point, maybe the professor might overtake
take over, yes, quite likely. So I'm encouraging the listeners, if you, you know, you're interested in the culture and you like what we do, you can forward the mail that I send you to a friend or, you know, at least tell them about it. So 718-653, did you have a comment?
Yes, Ms. Marshall, I enjoyed every bit of what he said. It was really very educational.
Right.
Very educational. And it was also, he touched on the subject of our language or patois.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I read. And I really appreciate the fact that he still appreciates and believes in that language. Because a lot of us, we migrate and we forget our own roots. And we forget, okay, you know, there's such a thing called patois. And we get so caught up in the English, the proper English, that we can't relate to our own people in our own language.
Oh, well, that will never happen.
Yes.
Oh, it should.
Yes. I know the situation, but I really appreciate the fact that...
Right. Well, that was one of the reasons I wanted to have him on. Because, you know, I have, except for Mrs. Manley, I've never had someone on who still lives and works in Jamaica. You know, all of my guests have been people in the diaspora and whatever... subjects we decide to research and talk about.
Okay.
So I was very happy to be able to bring someone who not only migrated to have to be, you know, continue his education, but he went back to help the next generation.
And that is wonderful. And his voice has not changed a bit.
Right. Well, I never heard him before, so I can't compare.
Yeah, awesome.
But, you know, it's really very inspiring for me.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So what I wanted to the points I'd like to really reiterate is the fact that he talks about how important it is for the children, young children, to be rooted in certain things, like, you know, being exposed to nature, participating in tasks, like you said, you know, and still, children in Jamaica, I'm hoping, is going to the fields with their children or is involved in what the parent is doing. I find that a lot of the modern parents, and I could be guilty of it too, tend to not want their children to really be involved in much of what they do, especially if it is physical or, you know what I mean? They will want them to be doing something that is less stressful or less physical, or, you know, they want to be doing something on the computer or playing some sort of game instead of being involved with what the parents do. Even in Jamaica, this is happening.
Yes, I know, because people, most of Jamaica have gotten so Americanized that even as simple as washing dishes,
uh-huh,
they'll have a helper do it instead of allowing a daughter or a son who's in the house to do
right.
it, to do it themselves, you know?
Right. Another point I wanted to reiterate is that he talked about his grandmother being an important force in his life.
Yes.
Which,
yes.
You know, I that doesn't say his mother wasn't around, but his grandmother takes him back to an earlier period. And I want to take this point right now to encourage the grandmothers of, especially in the diaspora, to know how important it is for them to have input in whatever way they can. Some of them are living far away from their grandchildren. I am blessed to have my three grandsons right here with me. However, and I know it can be difficult, but, you know, whatever way, it is important for you to be involved with that child, whether it's going to be by a letter, by a telephone call, by an email, or if you are physically there, you know, to not believe that because the parent is have everything for the child or is busy with the child or always with the child. It is important for you to be part of the child's life and telling your stories and giving your nuggets of wisdom.
That is so true.
So I want to just encourage the grandmothers to do that. And for the mothers to ask their parents, there's not a lot of parents that perhaps might be as verbal as I am, but, you know, you need to ask your mothers or fathers and grandfathers to share some stories with the younger generation, you know.
Glad you introduced the grandfathers.
Yes. Well, sorry about that. Can't leave the men out. They're important, too, you know. So it's just, as he says, you know, they is only the people that don't care about anything that would not know how important it is, you know, to be encouraging, to be a supportive branch of the next generation. We have to take the time to invest in them. And if you don't have grandchildren, you can make an investment into somebody else's child.
That is true.
You know, it doesn't really have to be your own. And if you have enough time and love for, you know, yours plus others, then I encourage you to do that.
Sure, right.
So with that said, I want to also, at this point, to make sure that you are giving something back. I was mentioning to the organization that planned this event that brought the professor up that, you know, we need to start thinking outside the box. And if we want to do something, especially, I love the causes that are helping education because, you know, that is like investing in your future. Even though we might not be here 50 years from now, but if you feel you have an investment, you're leaving a legacy. And an investment could be not necessarily a lot of money, but something you can do to help a cause. We hope that it would be a cause in Jamaica if you're so inclined, but a cause anywhere. You know, educating children anywhere is important. So it's not just Jamaicans that listen to the show. I know that. So I'm encouraging just everybody. And some of the things you can do, we all are on a limited budget, the whole world, I think. But you can become creative. Everybody has some white elephants in their house. If you're in a community that one person can collect some of these white elephants, if you know what they are, they're extra things that you never use that you bought or somebody give you, and have a garage sale. Or, you know, if you want to, you can always give it to a charitable organization, but if you want to personally impact some organization and you don't have the money or you don't have the resources, you need to start thinking outside the box. Now, what can I do? What can I organize that can help my cause, whatever my cause is? So, you know, you can come up with a whole lot of ideas, and I just want to encourage our listeners that if they have any ideas or if they know of anybody that has some ideas and they want to share it with us, you know, we're always open because that is part of what we do here in Backyard Lavish. We celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica. So with that said, I want to thank our listeners for being here and the listeners online. I hope you will spread the news about Sir Rex, as I will fondly call him. I did have a chance to meet him that day, and I found him very warm. He gave a very eloquent speech. He was the featured speaker, and I'm hoping that I'll have a tape of that I can put on the website so you'll hear even him expound on a lot of other things because we had a limited amount of time. It was just a busy day when this was recorded, so my time was sort of short with him. However, I hope you really enjoyed it. And I really look forward to having you in the backyard on a consistent basis. And it's just that I hope it will be a time that you can just, you know, relax. And you don't even, if you don't even call in, at least listen on your computer, because you can click on the link and it will be live and you can listen. And for callers in, you can tell your friends that when you send them the email, that if they're not able to listen on the phone, because a lot of people don't have unlimited long distance, or they might, it might not be convenient for them to call in. However, I want to give out our call-in number again for the people online. It's 718-766-4558. That's the number you would call in if you want to join the Labrish verbally. And if any of our listeners that have not raised their hands have a comment to make or would like to just let us know who they are, and support the Labrish in any way, do so by, let me know by hitting 1 on your telephone, and I will see a raised hand on my computer. This technology is cool, and this old bag is loving it. So I can open up the mic so your voice can be heard. So, and then you can tell your children and grandchildren, I'm in cyberspace, so go check out what I said. So I invite you to raise your hands if you want to. And if you don't feel so inclined, we're just happy you're here with us in the backyard. So, Mr. Loyalist of the Bronx, is there anything else out of you, sir?
No, ma'am. I'm ready to say goodnight.
Okay. Well, we thank you for being here. And Miss Maxie?
Maxine, yes.
Yeah? Do you have a comment or a closing nugget for us?
Well, I just want to tell you personally that I really appreciate what you're doing. And the first time I heard your voice, I said, this is the perfect voice for radio.
Oh, well, thank you.
Of your age would be engaged in stuff like this, you know, and you're just different. It's such an inspiration, and I really do admire and appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I thank you, Maxine. And I have been on my other shows, I was talking about you. And Maxine's show is on the website, on Blog Talk Radio, on your link. Did you see your show, Maxine?
Yes, I did. I did listen. As a matter of fact, I invited some in-laws of mine to listen.
Oh, yes, yes. And it will be there, you know, forever.
Forever, yeah, so I know.
So I will encourage our listeners that did not hear Maxine to go to the website and check out her show, because it was quite a treat to have her, and I know, Maxine, you are doing some wonderful things for the culture. So with that said, I would like to thank our listeners again for being with us, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and please come back and join the Labrish and spread the word. So good night from Atlanta, and make it a great week. Bye.
Goodbye.